Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas daf Yud Tes, and Lisha left off on Yud Ches and Beis at Tanur Rabbanan, about five lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and also Lezecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank Dr. Lander very much for the continued sponsorship. So what we are going to discuss today is the following. We're going to have a machlokas if Edom are believed to say that Anusim Hayinu, machlokas whether Edom could say, yeah, that's our signature, but we were anus. Someone was holding a gun to our heads when we signed that shtar. So there's going to be machlokas Tanayim, whether they're believed about that. And Rameyer says that they're not believed about that. In the context of the discussion of Rav Meir, we're going to have a discussion of whether signing falsely is in fact Yaharig Val Yavar, if a person has to give up their life in order to avoid signing falsely. Then the Gemara is going to have three different explanations of the din, that if someone says shtar amana, someone says, yeah, we signed that shtar, but that shtar was not indicative of a loan that already happened. We were giving it as a shtar amana just in case the loan would happen, that the person should have the shtar ready. So someone says shtar amana, that he's not believed to claim that it's a shtar amana, that if it's in fact a shtar, then you just have to trust it. So we're going to have three explanations of that din, that he isn't believed to say shtar amana. Who's the he that's not believed? The Loved, the Malved, the Edim. Why would they not be believed? So three different explanations we're going to have in the Gemara for that. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss the Isser to keep an Avla in one's house. What would constitute an Avla? So a Shtar Amana would be a good example of an Avla. You have a Shtar that says someone owes you money. He does not owe you money because the loan never happened. Or a Shtar Parua. You have a Shtar that says someone owes you money, but it's already been paid back. Or a Sefer She'enu Mu. You have a Sefer Torah that's not corrected, that has mistakes in it. So that would be an Avla that one is not allowed to leave in their house. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, what if Edom come and they say that, that's our signature, but Amana Hayudvarenu, Moda'a Hayudvarenu, Tanai Hayudvarenu, they say that the Shtar is not something that's actionable for any number of reasons. So we're going to discuss those reasons. Amana Hayudvarenu is that we wrote it, but only for the possibility of a future transaction. Moda Yudvarenu, someone was selling something, but he was being forced to sell, so he had us write a shtar moda that he was not interested in selling it. Or Tanai Yudvarenu, yes, there was a transaction that happened over here, but it was al Tanai, and was that Tanai fulfilled? The Tanai isn't written down, but we're the Edom, we know that there was a Tanai, so are people believed to say such things? And then at the end of the daf, we'll see if we get to it, the Gemara is going to discuss, what if the Edom die, but others say anusim hayu, ketanim hayu, meaning it's not that the Edom themselves say that's our signature and we were anus when we signed it, but the Edom are no longer there. Other people come, are makayim the signature, and say, yes, that is the signature of those Edom, but they were anus, they were ketanim. Is that the same thing? So let's begin. Tanur Rabban, about five lines from the end of the page, on daf, six lines from the end of the page, on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. So the Gemara brings a brisa where you have machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim, whether Edom are believed to say, meaning the idea is Pesha Asar Hua Pesha Hitir. They're the ones that say that it's their signature, so maybe they should be believed to modify that statement and therefore say that it's our signature, but it shouldn't mean anything to you because we were forced into it, or we were children, or we were Psule Edels. So Tana Rabbanan Ein Neman and also Divra Meir. Rameir says they are not Neman to go and passel it. We don't say a Pesha Asar Hua Pesha Hitir. V'cham Omrim Nemanim, and V'cham say they are believed to passel it. They're the ones that say it was their signature. They're believed to say that they were anusim or katanim or psule edus. So Bisham the Rabbanu Kitai Mayush HaPesh Asar HaPesh Hitir. The sheet of the Rabbanu is self-explanatory because they're the ones that said it was their signature. So they're the ones that are also believed to say that we shouldn't pay any attention to it because they were pasul. El Rav Meir Maitaima. But why would Rav Meir say that they're not believed to say that they were anusim or katanim or psule edus? Why don't we say apesh asur apesh yidir? And we don't have any other evidence that this is their signature other than they themselves saying ksav yadenu huzeh. That's the only evidence we have. And they themselves are pasling the shtar. They're saying anusim ayinu, katanim ayinu, psule edus ayinu. So it says Mar Bish, lama psule edus. Well, I understand Rav Meir on the psule edus front that if they say psule edus ayinu, they're not going to be believed because there's a chazaka against that. Malvagufei may occur in Medek Dayak Umachtam. The Malvus not going to write a shtar without checking out, without vetting the Edom first to make sure that they are kosher, and therefore, by virtue of the fact that the Malvus allowed them to sign on the shtar, it's chazaka that they're kosher. We're not talking about where the Edom are coming and saying that the point Rishonim point out, the Ramban, the Rashba, that we're not talking about where the Edom are coming and saying that we were made Edul Sheker, because then they were saying no, the Mesim Asma Rasha, and everyone would say that Edom the Mesim Asma Rasha. We're talking about where they said that what it says in the shtar is actually true. It just happens to be that at the time that we signed it, we were degenerate gamblers. We were psulim. We were avarayanim. We were mechalei Shabbos. So they weren't testifying to question the content of the shtar. They were testifying to question the force of their edus in the shtar. So if there's a situation where they're claiming that what's in the shtar is true, so it's an anansadi that the malva is an honest person, and if he's an honest person, he's going to vet the edim before he has them sign. So to say that psul the edus hayinu, we're not going to believe them. Ketanim nami. I even understand why Rav Meir says that they're not believed to claim that they were ketanim at the time, because Rav Shimon Lakish, Dam Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish teaches us that if edim are signed on the shtar, and the mocher or the lokeach were katanim at the time, so they're saying that the edim that are signed on the shtar are claiming that the mocher or the lokeach were katanim. Chazaka in edim chasam al shtar, okay, nasa begadol. We don't believe the edim because we have a chazaka that edim would not sign on the shtar if it was if the transaction involved a katan, if the transaction did not involve two people who are bnei das, who are bar das, who were able to affect the transaction. So we're assuming that just like Reish Lakish taught us that Edom would never sign a shtar if the mocher or the lokeach were a katan, so we also assume that no one would ever produce a shtar where the Edom are katanim. So therefore, the Edom saying katanim ayinu, they're not going to be believed because we have an anan sahadi that katanim would never be involved in a shtar in the first place. Ela anusim haitaima, but why aren't they believed to say anusim ayinu? Why would a mayor claim that they're not believed to say anusim ayinu? After all, hapesha asura hapesha. They're the ones that are saying Ksavya Deinu Huzeh, so they should be believed to say, but we were anus. So answer the Gemara Amrav Chis Ksavra Meir Edim Shamilam Chis Mushaker Ve'al Tahargu Yehargu Ve'al Yachtu Mushaker. An unbelievable chiddush, says Rav Chista, because Rav Meir must hold that they're claiming that they are Rishaim. They're claiming that they signed falsely by threat of death. One is not allowed to sign falsely by threat of death, even by threat of death. That is Yehareg Ve'al Yavar, to sign a shtar falsely. So Amalei Rava says Rav Chisda, what? Hashi Luwasan Kamel Lamluche. Look, if they were to come and ask a shayla, should we sign falsely or should we die? Amirin Luhuzilu Chasum of Lotit Katlun. We would certainly tell them sign the shtar and do not get killed. There are only three things in the Torah that are Yaharik Val Yavar, and signing a shtar falsely is not one of those things. So Hashi Luchasum. Now that they signed it, Amirin Luhu Amay Chasmisu. Now we're going to say, oh, why did you do that for? Of course we would tell them to sign the shtar falsely rather than to have themselves killed. So you see that, says Rav, it's clear that signing a shtar falsely is not Yaharik Val Yavar. The question is, what's the Havamina? L'chora, the Rishonim point out, the Havamina is, meaning Rav Chista's statement assumes that according to Rabbi Meir, the din of Yaharik Val Yavar is not only about the big three. The Rishonim say, and l'chora, signing a shtar falsely is no different than any other issue in the Torah. So probably the Havamina is that Yaharik Val Yavar applies to every single listener in the Torah, and not only the Shalosh Chamuros. And so the Rishonim raised the question, but how could you say such a thing? It's a klal that you're not supposed to be Moser Nefesh for anything other than the Gimel Chamuros. And Rav Meir disagrees with Rabbanan about that. So what's the Gemara's kasha back? That, oh, in the Chadovarom Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh. No, Rav Meir disagrees. Rav Meir holds that that everything is Omid Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara, so the Rishonim suggests that if we were talking about that the Edom say that they thought that there's no chiyuv to be moser nefesh on the mitzvah satorah, but they assume that it's a midas chasidus, and that knowing sheba olam, that a person would rather be moser nefesh than to sign falsely. And still they were not moser nefesh, even though it's a midas chasidus that people typically did, and they went and they signed falsely. So according to the Edim, there's a chazaka that they were not honest, meaning they're claiming that they were anusim. Not that they were shayim for being anusim, because everyone knows there's no chiyuv to give your life, but that they were going against conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom was that it's a midas chasidus that people do. It's one of those midas chasidus that's like a glatt kasher. It's a midas chasidus that everybody does. So they're claiming that they weren't following the midas chasidus that everybody does say the Rishonim, and therefore it's against the Chazakah, because the Chazakah is that people follow that Midas Chasidus. So on that, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? It's not a Midas Chasidus, it's Aser. You're not allowed to give up your life for any of the other. V'chaibahem, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. They have to try to live. It's not a Midas Chasidus at all. There's actually Machlokas Rishonim. If a person wants to give up his life for any of the other Aver Shabbat Torah, whether he's permitted to do so or not. The Rambam, fifth parak of Yisodei HaTorah, says that it's absolutely forbidden. He's not permitted to just choose to give up his life unless it's Gadol Hador and Makom Kiddush Hashem or something like that, or Shas Hashemad, something like that, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about. Now, why is it that it's Yavar Val Yaharig by all other Averos of the Torah, aside from the big three? So the Rishonim will point out, based on the Gemara, it says, V'chai Behem, the Gemara in Yuma Darshans, V'chai Behem V'lo She'yamos Behem, that a person is supposed to live with the Torah. And the assumption is that means that the longer a person lives, the more mitzvos he can do, and therefore I'd rather you violate this one Avera rather than miss out or pass up this one mitzvah rather than miss out on how many mitzvos a person could do over the course of a normal lifetime, similar to Chalal of Shabbos Achas Kedei Shishmar Shabbos Harbe, that you mechalal one Shabbos in order that a person should be able to observe many Shabbos. Tosfos Maseches Sanhedrin points out, though, that you don't even need V'chai Behem technically, meaning really it's a svara that you would not have to give up your life in order to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah, because it's the avera is being violated machmas ones, and any naru lo sasa davar ones rachmana patre. Whenever a person does an avera ba ones, it's not a maisa avera bechlal. So by definition, someone's holding a gun to your head, that's ones. So you're not even doing a maisa avera. So I don't really need v'chai behem. The only reason I need v'chai behem is because the Torah is mechadesh in three places, Yaharik Val Yavar. So once the Torah is mechadish in three places, Yaharik Val Yavar, I would assume Mematzinu Binyanav, that just like the Torah says over there, Yaharik Val Yavar, maybe everywhere is Yaharik Val Yavar. So that's why I need V'chai Behem to balance out that Yaharik Val Yavar. So the Gemara does seem to assume L'maskana, at least Rava seems to assume, that absolutely one is not supposed to give up their life rather than violate signing a shtar falsely or stealing money. However, this is a major discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. The Binyan Tzion writes within Shitas Rav Chista that since by signing they're being gonev mamon, it's usher to be gonev mamon in order to save one's life. That this Shitas Rav Chista is chai v'kayim. It's not that Rav Chista is rejected and then we ignored him. No, Rav Chista really holds this way, that it's Yaharik Val Yavar to steal money. Where would we get the idea that it's Yaharik Val Yavar to steal money? So there is a sugya in Mesachas Baba Kama and Daf Samach, where the Gemara over there says that David HaMelech had a suffix about this very Shaila. He wanted to burn down a field that belonged to another Jew where the Plishtim were hiding, and he asked the Shaila of the Sanhedrin at the time, is he allowed to do this? And they said, Melech Ata, you're allowed to do whatever you want because you're a Melech. But the implication is that if he weren't a melech, it would be aser. So, but it's a life-threatening situation. What do you mean it's going to be aser? So it's machlokas, Rashi and Tosos over there. What exactly was David HaMelech's shaila? Was it shaila, am I allowed to save my life at the expense of somebody else by burning down somebody else's field? Or was it shaila, not am I allowed, of course I'm allowed to save my life. The shaila is, am I going to have to pay the person back afterwards? So that may have been a shaila. And maybe the answer was that melech ata, so you won't have to pay him back, because a melech could knock out people's fields and make a derech, you know, whatever he wants. But other people would have to pay back. But of course, you're allowed to save your life. Whereas other Rishonim say, no. He was actually asking, is he allowed to save his life? And they said, only because you're a melech. Otherwise, you would not be allowed to save your life at the cost of other people. So the Binyan Tzion takes this seriously, la'alacha. The Binyan Tzion thinks that la'alacha, it's a serious problem to steal even in a life-saving situation. It's like one of those classic ethical dilemmas, that your child is sick and there's only one medication that could save them, but the person who produces the medication is charging $10 million for it, so you're allowed to break into the lab in order to steal the medicine to save your child's life. Parenthetically, I heard Rabbi Breidowitz said recently that they noticed the difference between if it wasn't just a yes or no, a check-off answer, where they left lines for people to answer the question, they noticed the difference between the way men and women typically answer the question. That men will always answer, yes, of course, right? Of course you're allowed to steal it. And women would say, yes, but make sure to leave a note that explains your... meaning women tend to think bigger picture, more broadly, and not just about how to solve this problem, this acute problem that you're faced with at that moment. That's not not the only thing that the Binyan Tzion says is Yarg Val Yavar that does not appear in the Gemara earlier in Ksuba said in Masechta Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet. Binyan Tzion says that he takes the Gemara in Masechta Sota on Daf Yud very literally. The Gemara in Sota says, Noach Laladim Shapel Sasmul Tokiv Shana Eish Val Yalbim Pnei Chavero Barabim, that a person should rather die than embarrass somebody publicly. So Tulsa says, Tulsa over there, and Sota says, Why is it not on the list that we have throughout Shas of Yarg Val Yavar? It should be Apple to Sarugila, right? Shvichstavim, Mal Bnei Chaver Barabim. So Tzal says, yeah, because Mal Bnei Chaver Barabim is not mefurish in the pasuk. We only derive the iser of Mal Bnei Chaver Barabim from drashos. But the implication of Tosos is that it is on the list. It just doesn't, when we're making the list, we're making the list of things that are mefurish in psukim. But really, in halacha, it would be true that you'd have to die rather than be Mal Bnei Chaver Barabim. And it doesn't seem that Tosos is the only one that holds that way, because the Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva says that why is Halbanas Panim considered Yahari Val Yavar? Because it's an Abizrayu of Shvichus Damim. It's considered to be an offshoot of Shvichus Damim. So this always begs the question. When you have two Rishonim that comment on something, and the other Rishonim are silent about it, they just don't say anything about it. So what does that mean for us? Do we say, well, the two Rishonim that spoke about it, they're the ones whose opinion we follow, because they spoke about it? Or do we say, no, it was such a crazy Chiddush that only two Rishonim said it, all the other Rishonim, Shtikasam, you know, is a reflection of the fact that they take the normal Gemaras literally, that there are only three, that you can add Halbanas Panim to the list. The truth is, the Me'iri disagrees explicitly. The Me'iri says that when the Gemara says that Yapal Atzmon Kivshon Eish, it's a Derech Tzachus, it's a way of expression. Sometimes Dibru Chachamim Beloshon Guzma, sometimes the Chachamim speak in exaggerated terms, and this might be one such example of speaking in exaggerated terms. In the Rambam, it sounds like the Me'iri as well, because the Rambam doesn't mention Halbanas Panim among the Averos that are Yeharig Val Yavar. So Pashtus is, he holds that it is not Yeharig Val Yavar. Okay, let's see further now. So says Gemara El Taimed Rameir. So what is the basis for a Meir that Edom are not believed to say Anusamayinu? Kidrafuna Marav, Tamrafuna Marav, Moda B'shtar Shiksava. Once your Moda, once the Lova is Moda, that he wrote a shtar and Edom signed it, but the Lova is claiming, yeah, I wrote that shtar and Edom signed it, but I already paid it back. Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo, the Malva no longer requires a Kiyum Ashtar. The Lova was Moda that he already that he wrote the shtar. So over here also, when Rameir says that the Edom are not believed to say Anusma Yinu Machmas Nefashos, it's because the Lova was Moda that he wrote the shtar. So Rameir holds that Edom are not Neman to say Anusma Yinu because the shtar is already Mukuyum without the Edom. You don't need the Edom to be Mekayim the shtar. The whole reason to believe the Edom is because of Peshas or Peshi Hitir. The only reason we know that it's a good shtar is because they say Ksav Yadenu Huzeh. So once they're the basis of the Nemanos of the shtar, we can believe them to say Anusma Yinu. But they're not the basis for the Nemanos of the shtar. The Lova admits that he wrote the shtar, and therefore the Edom are not Neman to say Anusma Yinu. However, the Chachamim disagree, and they hold even if you're Moda, if the Lova is Moda B'shtar that he wrote it, the Malva would have to be Mekayim, and if he's not Mekayim, the Lova is Neman to say that it's Perua, because he could have just said it's Mezuyaf. So therefore, you need the Kiyume Edom, and if you need the Kiyume Edom, Apeshas or Apeshiyeter, they're believed to say Anusama Yinu. Gufa, Amar Rav Huna Amrav, going back to this very din that Rav Huna Amrav taught us, Moda B'shtar Shiksavo Ein Tzarech L'Kaimo, that if the Lova admits that he wrote the Shtar, the Malva no longer needs a Kiyum Shtaros. We know the Shtar is already Mekuyim, because the Lova admitted. So Amalei Rav Nachman, Ganuva Ganuve Lamelach, why would you claim that you're the one being Mechadish this Halacha, Ki Ilu, no one disagrees with it, and it's just a Halacha that you have B'mesara, you're stealing it. Yisveri Lach Rameir, Emelach Rameir. If you hold like Rameir, you say the Halacha is like Rameir, meaning the way the Rishonim explained, I suspect that the reason you're not quoting it from Rameir is because if you quote it from Rameir, everyone would realize the Chum disagree. So and you want everyone to follow this halacha. So you're just saying, yeah, there's a halacha, the Moda B'shtar Shiksavo ain't Tzarech L'Kaimo. The Chum hold that it's Tzarech L'Kaimo. Samlei Rafunas is back to Rav Nachman, Umar Hechi Svirulei. Do you really disagree? Do you pass like the Chum that Moda B'shtar Shiksavo Tzarech L'Kaimo? Amrlei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, yeah, I hold that Taka Tzarech L'Kaimo. Kiyasa L'Kaman L'Dina, when they come to the Beis Din, and the Lova is Moda that he wrote the Shtar, but the Lova is claiming Parati, Amrinu Lahu, I tell the Malva, Zilu Kaimu Shtareich, V'chusu Medina. I'll tell him, go be Mekayim Mishtar and then come back. Meaning, yes, Enachinami, I hold that even if the Lov is Moda that he wrote the Shtar, the Malva still has the responsibility of being Mekayim Mishtar. Amar Vidom Rav, Ha'omer Shtar Amana Huzeh. New topic now. What if the Beis Din says, someone says in Beis Din that this Shtar is a Shtar Amana, which means that there was never an actual loan that took place. It's just the Lova gave the Malva the Shtar so that when they need it, and he wants to borrow money from him, he'll be able to do so immediately because there's already a Shtar drawn up. So Einanem, you're not believed to say that it's a Shtar Amana and that there was no actual loan. So it says, what are we talking about over here? Who's claiming it's a Shtar Amana? The Kamar Man, Ilem, the Kamar Lova. If it's the Lova saying it's a Shtar Amana and he's saying, look, I'm not going to pay this, it's a Shtar Amana, I never borrowed money. Well, Pshita, Kol Kaminei, of course I'm not going to believe him. Anytime someone has a Shtar against me that says I owe them $1 million, I could say, it's a Shtar Amana. Of course I'm not believed to say such a thing. That's ridiculous. Vela to come Malva. So what? We want to say that the Malva is claiming it's a Shtar Amana? Tavel of Bracha. He wants to give me a matana of $1 million? Gizotei. Let him say it's a Shtar Amana and I don't owe him the money. So it wouldn't make any sense to say Einu Neman. El to come Eidim. No, it must be that the Eidim are the ones who signed on the Shtar that are claiming that it's a Shtar Amana. Well, Eidik Savyadim Yotzim Makom Acher. If we can independently verify the signatures of these Eidim, Pshitad Lomamni, then of course they're not believed to say that it's a Shtar Amana, because Kivin Shigit Shuvenu Chazer Amagid, the Eidus is in the Shtar, and therefore they're not allowed to come and change the Eidus. And if we cannot independently verify their signatures, Amai Lomamni, why wouldn't they be believed? They're the ones that told us that it's their signatures, so Mela, they're believed to say that the whole thing was a Shtar Amana. So we're stuck. It doesn't make sense that it's the Lova claiming it's a Shtar Amana, because obviously he's not believed. It doesn't make sense that it's the Malva claiming it's a Shtar Amana, because obviously he is believed. He can do whatever he wants if he's the one that's all the money. And it doesn't make sense that it's the Aiden that are claiming that it's a Shtar Amana, because Mimanavshuk, if we already verified their signatures, they're not believed. And if we haven't verified their signatures, then of course they're believed. So says Gemara, Simin Ba'esh, that there's the Simin is that there are three answers, and the letters that signify the authors of the three answers are Beis, Ayin, Shin. Rava, the Beis is in Rava's name, Abaye is starts with an Aleph, and Rav Ashi, the Shin in Rav Ashi's name. So that's the Simin. So Amar Rava. Rava says, Liola, and by the way, the three options the Gemara presented, is it the Lova claiming Shtar Amana, the Malva claiming Shtar Amana, the Edim claiming Shtar Amana, each answer goes with another one of those possibilities. So Amar Rava, Liola, the Kamar Lova. The case is the Lova saying that it's a Shtar Amana. Obviously, he should not be believed. Why do you, it's on a Chiddush, tell me he's not believed. Ukad Rav Huna, Dam Rav Unum Rav, Modu B'Shar Shiksavo, Ein Tzorach L'Kaimo. That we're assuming that if you're Modu that you wrote a Shtar, you don't have to be Mekayim. If the Lova is Modu, you don't have to be Mekayim the Shtar, because by the Lova being Modu, the Shtar is already Mekuyam, and the Lova is not Neman to say that he already paid it back, even with Amigo de Mezuyav, because the Shtar is in the Malva's hand, and that's a Raya, that it hasn't been paid. So through the same logic, if someone says that if the Lova says it's a Shtar Amana, he's not believed. That's talking about where the Shtar is not Mekuyam Mimakom Acher. It's only through the Lova that the Shtar is Mekuyam. And still he's not Neman Bimigo de Mezuyev, because it's not the Derech of a Lova to be Moser Shtar to the Malta before he ever gives him the money. So that's the Chiddush of Rav. The Chiddush is that it's the Lova, but we only know about the veracity of the Shtar through the Lova himself. And still he's not believed to say that it's a Shtar Amana, even though the whole mile of the Shtar, the whole validity of the Shtar is totally on the Lova. Tosus points out that why does Rav have to say the same thing twice then? Meaning he already told us about the Modu B'Shtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorach L'Kaimo. So this is just a repeat of that, of Modu B'Shtar Shekosvo Ein Tzorach L'Kaimo. So Tosus says Rav didn't actually say both statements. He said one of them, and the other one was obvious from the one. The Gemara just expresses it in two different ways. Second answer, that really the case is that it's the Malva who says Shtar Amana, and he's not interested in collecting. So what's the problem? Let him give away all of his money if he wants to. No, but he owes money to other people. The chaver bechaveru. How do I know that if Reuven owes money to Shimon and Shimon owes money to Levi, that Levi can go straight to Reuven and collect from Reuven? So because that's what's called shibud derab nasan. Tamal omar. We have a pasuk that tells us that if someone steals from somebody else and he swears falsely, it says veheishav shama baroshav chamishlo yosiflov v'nasan lasher ashamlo, that he has to give to the one that he's chayiv to. So it doesn't say v'nasan lasher huvahu, that he goes to the he gives to the one that lent him the money. No, lasher ashamlo, which implies that even if he had no direct relationship with that person, because he's the balchov of the person who he's a balchov to, that's who you give it to. So therefore, I understand Rav very well that the case is that Shimon is moda to Levi that it's a shtar amana, and he's not neman to be mafsid based on his hoda'ah, because he's being mafsid Reuven. Shimon is being mafsid Reuven. He's not being mafsid. He's not being mafsid himself. In a chinami, if it was just about it, he's the lender and he says shtar amana, the whole shtar is a joke, you don't owe me any money, so gizuntayit, he's allowed to do that. But if he has debts that he owes other people, so to turn down that money means he's turning down the opportunity to pay back other people, that he's not allowed to do, so he's eino neman. A third answer, Ravashi amar liolam tekamri edim, really the case is that the edim claimed that it was a shtar amana. The lovitz said at the time that they wrote the shtar that he still didn't lend the money, and he wrote the shtar only as a shtar amana, that if he needs to borrow money, the shtar should be the malva should have the shtar ready to collect with. And the case is that we cannot independently verify the signatures of these edim. So you asked, well, if the only way we know that these edim signatures are valid is through their own testimony, why wouldn't they be believed to say that it's a shtar amana? Keep an avla in your house, and a shtar amana is an example of an avla. So the edim are claiming that it was a shtar amana, but it's against the chazaka. We have a chazaka that a person would never keep an avla in his house, and a shtar amana is certainly an avla. It's a terrible thing for one to keep in his house, because you could do terrible isurim with him, stealing money. We see from Rav Kana saying that you're not allowed to keep a shtar of money in your house, that Edim Shamru Amanu Hayudvarenu Ein Hemanim, that if Edim come and they say, yes, that's our signature on the shtar, but the whole shtar is only a shtar amana, they're not believed to say such a thing, and the Baal Shtar could still collect with that shtar, because we cannot believe that someone would keep around the shtar amana. My taima, why aren't they believed that it's a shtar amana? Kivin da avlahu, avla lo chasmi, that it's an avla, and people don't sign on an avel, they don't sign on an avla, so they're making them say no the mesim asma rasha. They're claiming that they are rasha'im by saying that they signed on an avla and that they allowed such an avla to happen. Amr b'shul ben Levi, also lo lodem shish a shtar perua b'toch beso. Along similar lines, a person is not allowed to keep a shtar perua in his house. That if you lent money with a shtar and the guy already paid you back and he never asked for the shtar back, you're not allowed to just hang on to the shtar. Mishum shnemar al tishkam ba'alecha avla, because it says al tishkam ba'alecha avla. You're not going to use it. You just want, you know, the person you lent money to is a chashva person. It has a signature on it. You think it's going to be worth money one day. Whatever. It's a collector's item. It doesn't matter. You're not allowed to keep a shtar perua b'toch beis. So you can't keep a shtar that's already been paid. So the Gemara says b'mar Rav mishmei de Rav Amri in Eretz Yisrael. They said in the name of Rav, im oven biyodcha harchikehu. If you have a dvar aveira, you need to distance yourself from that. What's that referring to? Zesh shtar amana. That's a reference to a shtar amana, that you're not allowed to have a shtar amana because there was no actual transaction. And what else does it refer to? Ushtar pasim. So this is a different kind of shtar. This is a shtar that's written about something that's not true, that a person is mefayes his friend, meaning you have a friend who's hit hard times and he needs to show that he's a player in business, that he's someone who's getting things done, he's doing things. So he has you write a shtar that you owe him $10 million or something, and he trusts you that you're not going to use it against him, but he's just trying to make it that he looks like he's busy, it looks like he's an ashir. So you're not allowed to keep such a shtar because it can be used to be gova shelo kedin. A person can collect with it shelo kedin. A lot of times it's just like a posing, that people are posing to be something that they're not. I brought my talmidim last week to Rav David Cohen and in Camp Monk, and one of them asked if you're allowed to wear like a fake Rolex or fake brand names. He said, why would you do such a thing? Why would you want to show off that you're something that you're not, that you're somebody that you're not, that you have money? That's not a Jewish midah, that a person should show off that they have things that they're not. He said, it's a terrible chisar to midos to have such things. So there was a person there who not part of our group, who's very, very close to Rav David Kohn, said, oy vey, my wife has all fake stuff. He's not a shalom bias, okay, whatever. But generally speaking, you are what you are, you have what you have, and a person shouldn't be. So to write a shtar pasim, so that's not the Gemara's focus, not on midos over here, it's on the maisa, that the person could actually use it to steal money. So al tishkan ba'alech habla is a shtar perua. Al tishkan ba'alech habla is a reference to a shtar perua, that you can't have. So what do we have? You can't have a shtar amana, which is a loan that never happened, but you're hopeful will happen. A shtar pasim, which is a loan that never happened, but you want to pose that you're such a rich person, and a shtar perua, a loan that happened, but it's already been paid back. So all of these things are an avla. So the Gemara assumes that the Bnei Bavel don't learn these two types of shtar, shtar amana and shtar perua, from that pasuk, because they disagree with the Bnei Marava. They disagree with the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who asked for those two types of shtaros. So there's the Bnei Bavel have a machlokas, which shtar the pasuk is referring to when it says Val Tishkan Ba'alecha Avla, that it's a shtar that Rav Kahana said it's a shtar amana, and Rav Shimon Levi learned that it's a shtar perua. So we're assuming that it's one or the other that we learn from the pasuk. So Mandiam Shtar Perua, Rav Shimon Levi, who thought that we learned from the pasuk Val Tishkan Ba'alecha Avla, they in Allah have a shtar perua besoch bei, so kolshke shtar amana, so all the more so you're not allowed to have a shtar amana besoch bei. So why is that a kol shekein? That it's not. So the Gemara is going to explain in a second that shtar perua, there are some times that you are allowed to have. Like, for example, if the guy still owes money to pay for the sofer who wrote the shtar, and he hasn't paid up yet, so you're allowed to hang on to it until he pays up. So sometimes, at least, you're allowed to keep a shtar perua. So I would think that if ya'asr even a shtar perua, which sometimes is okay, so kol shekein a shtar amana, you're going to asr. But aman diyamar shtar amana, if you learn from the pasuk that you're not allowed to keep a shtar amana, could be able to shtar perua low. It could be that there's no issur of keeping a shtar perua because sometimes the malva is going to is entitled to hang on to the shtar perua because he's waiting for the lova to pay for his share of the writing of the shtar. Sometimes at the time of the ksivus shtar, the lova is the one that's responsible to pay the sofer who wrote the shtar, and maybe the lova didn't have money at the time of the halva, so the malva laid out the money for that, so he has the right to hang on to the shtar until the lover pays him back. Apshiti de safra, so itmar. Once we're on the topic of altishkan ba'alecha avla, sefer she'ena mugav. If a person has a sefer that is not that is not carefully written, and there may be typos in the sefer, there may be extra or missing words. So Rabbi Ami ad shloshim yom mutar l'shosa. You can hang on to it for 30 days while you're getting it fixed. But mikan ve'elach asur l'shosa. Beyond that, you're not allowed to keep a sefer she'ena mugav. Mishum shneamar altishkan ba'alecha avla, because of the pasuk of altishkan ba'alecha Avla. Rashi writes over here, what's the Sefer Sheinu Muga? Tanakh, he says. That's Torah Neviim Uksuvim. So the Rashi explains that he doesn't mean as opposed to other Svarim, because someone who has Gemara and Sifrei Poskim that are not Muga, the Ein Lecha Avol Gadol Mizeh, meaning if you have a Shulchan Aruch that's not Muga, so that would be really bad, meaning you'll come out with all the wrong halachos. So that's also an Avol. It's just that in the times of the Chazal, they didn't have other Svarim. The Svarim that they had was the Tanakh. So that's what it's a reference to. There's a fascinating tshuva in Shevet Alevi. Rav Ozner was asked by Rav Shabtai Frankel, Zichron Levracha, about fixing up Shas. He said that the Vilna Shas has kama v'kama ta'uyos. There are many mistakes throughout the Vilna Shas. Maybe it's a violation of Al Tishkan Ba'alecha Avla. He said it would be a very, very expensive project to really fix it properly. But maybe Klal Yisrael is obligated to do so because of this issue of Al Tishkan Ba'alecha Avla. So Rav Ozner tries to piece together Heterim. He said, yeah, everyone's had this Shas for so long, and we see that it hasn't led to such an Avla. And it's not that it's Ein Omuga, it's just that it's such a big book that, of course, there are going to be more mistakes no matter how many times you're Magia. There are always going to be more mistakes. There are always going to be things that you don't notice. It's like if you write a Sefer Torah and then you bring it to an expert Magia, to a person who's really, really good checking it, and then you put it through a computer check, they'll find dozens of more mistakes. Not hundreds. If it's a bad magia, they'll find hundreds, but otherwise they'll find dozens of more mistakes. No matter how good the magia is, they're going to find. That's why we do the computer checking. It's a big shayla before the computer check. So obviously you have to assume that you do your best. It's not a sefer sheino muga. It's muga. It's just still has mistakes in it. So that in the end he said it's a really good idea, but he doesn't think that you could say that it's a chiyuv to redo Shasa. It's been redone already now with the Ozva Hadar and everything else. They fixed up almost everything, I think. So that's Al Tishka Malach Avos. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Edim Shomra Mano Hayu Dvareinu. If Edim say we signed on the shtar, but Mano Hayu Dvareinu, that we wrote the shtar knowing that there was no transaction yet, but there was there was a hope for a future transaction. Ein emanim, they're not believed to say that. To call the whole shtar into question. Moda yudvareinu, who was a shtar mecher, and they say that the guy who sold the field actually didn't get paid for it, and someone was holding a gun to his head, and he told us to write this shtar, but he said you should know before you write this shtar, I'm not really selling this field. It's just that that I don't know what else to do. He's holding a gun to my head. Ein emanim, they're not believed to say that either, and the shtar is going to be kasher because the edim cannot balpeh be mevatel the shtar. That's Biksav. Marbar Avashi Amar Amano Yudvareinu Neemanim. They're not believed to say Amano Yudvareinu, but Moda Yudvareinu Neemanim. If they say Moda Yudvareinu, they are believed, and the Mechira is therefore null and void because the Shtar Mechira is possible. My Taima Hainit in the Kasev. Because what's the basis to say Moda Yudvareinu that they're believed? Because a Shtar Moda, Edom are allowed to write a Shtar Moda because by through writing the Shtar, they're Matzil the Balasada. So they didn't do an Aveira by signing the star. The guy had a gun to his head. He had to sell the field. So even though these Edom knew that the transaction wasn't happening, they were signing in order to save this fellow's life. So they did okay. But to write a shtar amana, that's a terrible avera for them to sign on a shtar amana. Ain't of the Mesimus Atma Rasha, we don't trust them to say that they are Rishayim and that they signed on a shtar amana. So by me, Rav Nachman, Tanai Hayidvareinu Mahu, what if they say that the sale happened, but it was all Tanai, and the Tanai may not have been fulfilled, and the Tanai wasn't written in the shtar? So they believe in such a case. So Modav, Amana Hainataim Adaka Akri Lil Shtara. Maybe the reason they're not believed to say Modav is because they're being ochre the entire star. They're saying that the whole star is an invalid star. And over here also, when they're saying tonight, they're uprooting the whole effect of the star because they're saying that there was a tonight, the tonight wasn't fulfilled, and therefore the star is a piece of garbage. Or maybe no, they're saying the star is perfectly good. It's just that there's a separate thing called the tonight that's a rider on the star. There's something that's added on to this star, and they're believed to say such a thing. But when they're saying Amana or Moda'a, they're being made against what it says in the shtar. When they say Tanai, they say what it says in the shtar is true and it's right and it's correct. It's just that there's also a Tanai involved. So Amar Leis, Rav Nachman said to Rav, Kiyasal Kaman Ludina, when the Lukuchos come to Beis Din and the Edom is signed on their shtar and they say Tanai Oidavrinu, Amrinu Luhuzilu Kaimu Tanai, Echu V'chusul Ledina, we tell them, go fulfill your Tanai and then you can come back to the Din Torah. Apparently, they're believed to say that Tanai Yidvarenu. We don't assume that's being Oker the Shtar. Eidomer Tanai ve Eidomer Einu Tanai. If one aid says that Tanai Yidvarenu and the other aid says no, there wasn't. It's just a regular Shtar. There's no Tanai Yidvarenu. So Amra Papa Travai Bushar Ma'ali Kamasadi. They're both being made the Ksav Yadenu who said that it's a valid Shtar. And therefore, Vahidakamer Tanai Havle Chad Veidvar Shalachim Makom Shain. The one that's trying to ruin the validity of the Shtar by saying it's a Tanai is only one of the Edim, but both of the Edim said that it was a valid shtar. Say in Dvarav Shalach and Makom Shnayim, he's not believed to ruin the validity of the shtar. So Matzvah Rav Huna Breda Yeshua Ihachi. If that's the case, I'll feel Travayu Nami. Even when both Edim say Tanai Hoyid Vareinu, they shouldn't be believed because Edim Achsumen Al Shtar is Kamishnach Reidusim BeBeizdin. So it's already the shtar is already Makuyam. The shtar is already there, and Kimin Shigut Shuvenu Chazir Magid. You already have the Edus Bishtar. So even two Edim shouldn't be able to come back and say, oh, but there's a Tanai. Elamin and Hani Lemekar said, so the Sayu Ka'asu, we have to say that the reason that when two Edom say it, they're believed is because they're coming to be Oker Betoch Kedei Dibor, the Kiyum of the Kiyum of the Shtar. So when it comes to one Ed also, Shouldn't he, betoch kedei dibur, be able to say, I know I just said this was my signature, but betoch kedei dibur, he's saying, but it's not my signature, I mean, but it is, but there was a tanai involved. So betoch kedei dibur is being okay, that edus, v'hilsa krafun b'reid of Yeshua. Now, Allah is like krafun b'reid of Yeshua, that an eid echad is believed to say, tanai ho'id v'reinu, and the shtar is not mukliyam until the mocher is mekayim, the tanai that he made with the lokech balpeh at the time of the mechira. So Elisha Bez Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow from Tanur Rabbanan. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.